ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver at home, inshallah we will be discussing some discourses of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Alayh, who was well known as Hazrat Ji from Jalalabad. Many ulama of our country have studied by him. He used to come to South Africa many years ago. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi Ali was a very soft natured person. He was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Ali, and he was the principal of Miftahul Ulum Jalalabad. And thousands of people had benefited from him. So some of the discourses that Hazrat Ji had mentioned, before we commence that, is a note that Hazrat Mawla Wasiullah Rahmatullahi Ali was also Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Ali, and we had mentioned many majalis of his as well in our programs. He mentioned something very important. He says, the books of Sufis. Now we talk about Sufis, we are talking about those who are genuine Sufis, not the bogus ones, those people who are real Allah walas. The books of the Sufis contain many sciences and experiences through which a special condition and feeling is created in the heart. So we could listen very attentively to these Malfuzat, anecdotes of these Buzughan al-Din, because they, actually what they give us is a gist of their life experiences. They were true spiritual doctors, so they knew exactly because of the experiences. And when they would interact with so many different types of people, they would interact with ulama, with other pious people, with lawyers, doctors, teachers, ordinary people, musallis, businessmen, who would interact with different types of people. So Allah Ta'ala had given them some special spiritual enlightenment, nur in their heart, and they had knowledge, true knowledge. Then they lived a life which was very pure, very pious, very righteous lives. They stayed away from guna. So Allah gave him the special basirat, light of the heart. And therefore they were able to detect a malady, if any person had a spiritual malady. Very easily they will detect that. And after detecting that, they will make every attempt to try and remedy that problem. And they would sacrifice their lives in guiding the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and instilling the love of Allah ta'ala into their hearts. So he says that the books of Sufis contain many sciences and experiences through which a special condition and feeling is created in the heart, and the way is made easy. Which way are we talking about? The way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all of us are traversing, all of us are walking on this tariq, this path. We are moving toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowledge of prerequisites and obstacles of this path is obtained. And a path which normally would take many years to traverse, alhamdulillah, it is covered in a few minutes. Sitting in their company, we find things that are huge problems, great worries. People write, different people have different types of worries, and they're looking for some type of solution. And these people, these friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these mashayikh, true shaykhs, Allah ta'ala had blessed them, and therefore this way towards Allah Rabbul Izzat became easy for the mureedin and the people who used to listen to the majalis and take genuine nasihat from them and practice upon that. Nonetheless, Hazrat Mawla Wasiullah Rahmatullah continues, he says, yes, there are certain things which are very difficult to comprehend. Sometimes there are certain things that they have mentioned, For ordinary people like you and I, it is difficult to understand. This is not surprising, because the books of every science and every subject contain certain points which are complex and difficult. Whether it is chemistry, biology, physics, any science you find, there are sometimes there are issues which are very complex, very difficult, and beyond the comprehension of all and sundry. The Quran Sharif itself contains certain verses which are called muqatta'at, alif lam mim, alif lam mim ra, hamim, hamim ayn sin qaf, we discussed this previously. And then there are certain verses which are called mutashabihat. So the meanings of these few verses, few of them in the Quran, we do not understand. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So these are not verses of ahkam, laws. Nothing about salat mentioned there or zakat that we require to understand the meaning of. No. Allah in His wisdom has got these verses, and He alone, He is the author. It is His words. He has got every right to put these beautiful words, the meaning of which He alone knows. In fact, we have been prohibited to delve into them and to probe and see what is the meaning of alif, lam and mim. I also say there are levels of different sciences. All the sciences are not understood by everybody in the beginning. When a person's capability and aptitude increases, then he understands things better, which he previously did not understand. So they're mentioning this as a prelude, because many times we will not understand certain statements of certain things that certain mashayikh have mentioned. Beyond our comprehension. Of course, any person who does anything which is contrary to Quran and Sunnah, then that is not accepted. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes after understanding Quran and Sunnah in the true form, then certain things have been mentioned by these mashayikh which are above our minds and we cannot comprehend. So what do we do in those instances? In those cases, we don't bother about those things. We don't try to find and fathom, because it doesn't affect us directly. You see, Sufis are exponents of the spiritual aspect of the Sharia. So many of the statements stem from their personal dispositions and conditions. As long as a person does not reach their level of taste and condition, he will not understand those things. We were little children, and we could not understand certain things our parents said or did. As we grew and we matured, then we realize what those things meant. And then when we look back at how we were when we were small and immature, then sometimes we will laugh at how we behave and we couldn't understand. And as you grow older, so many times we tell about children, boy, when you grow up, you'll also understand what we're talking about. So similarly, it's not everything that part of tariqah is so very full of mysteries and we don't understand. No. This part of tariqah is a very simple way. People bring about mysticism and very complex issues and bring that in front of us. Like, it's so difficult, we say, no. This tasawuf is something against Sharia, ma'adallah. It's something beyond our grasp. No. There will be certain things which are complex to understand. We don't have to worry about that. The rest of the path is simple. All based upon Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to do with purification of the heart. Cleanliness of the heart, becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It helps us to perform our salat correctly. One is the salat that we just read. And even though we know the masail of salat, and we make a wudu, and we come, and we do the actions and the postures correctly, but then there's something else beyond that. And that is the spiritual aspect of salah. When we really attain that concentration, that devotion, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when the person prostrates, and then he realizes, I'm prostrating before my Allah, my beloved master. And then the enjoyment the person gets, when he says, then subhana rabbi al-azim. When he puts his head into sajda. So without the spiritual feeling, he's just doing some actions. Namaz will be valid, it's done. But then he's missing out on the real ruh of salat. Same for Hajj, person went, Arafat he was present, Hajj is made. But that person who really went as a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he had donned his ihram and his disheveled hair, and he's raising his hands, and he's looking up into the sky, and he's supplicating to his Allah, and he's sincerely crying, and repenting time when he's creating that real bond with Allah. At a time when he forgets everything in the world and he really seeks the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a different dimension, different aspect. And this is the thing that we require to get this flavor of ibadat in our lives. So Hazrat Imam Wasiullah rahmatullahi alayhi says then, consequently many ulama went into the service of a pious personality by the tawfiq of Allah ta'ala, and by virtue of remaining in his company, they imbibed his disposition and condition, attested to them, became proponents themselves. They themselves drank from these mashayikh, they drank from the cup of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they gave others to drink as well. So this silsila, this cycle continues right to the day of Qiyamah, or until there won't be a single person saying, Allah, Allah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. So there will be those lovers of Allah which we have to seek and we have to search for them and then gain from the cup of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have. In Hazrat Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Najwi rahmatullahi alayhi, another very great alim, he had written, he said, I wrote the following on the importance and benefit of the malfuzat of the pious elders. What is the malfuzat? Anecdote, a statement. So, he said, it is a very old practice to pen the statements and the assemblies of the pious elders. This is a very blessed and wise step in writing. The verb which is found in those statements and assemblies are naturally not found in academic works and general writings. You see an article on some aspect, some dini article, straightforward points, an academic article talking about the Arabic, the literature, etc. And then you have a writing which has this aspect which I'm talking about, which has the flavor of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. You see a difference. It says, those are general writings, then the guidelines which people of different temperaments get from the different conditions and issues can never be expected from formally written books. Simplicity, informality, affection, consideration, insight on affairs, identification of temperaments of people, in-depth knowledge of general spiritual ailments and weaknesses, and their correct treatment have always been the hallmarks of the pious elders and Sufis. The best example of this can be found in their malfuzat and the general gatherings, the majalis as we term. One is the waaz in nasihat, like a Jummah bayan, the prepared, we have a special topic and the speaker speaks on that particular topic. But in a majlis, like how we have, then different aspects of Islam are discussed. Not necessarily a particular topic. So, the crux of whatever has been mentioned is that this way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all are traveling. We are traversing this path. And we want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these mashayikh have from Quran and Hadith and Sunnah, they have understood it well. And they have made this road towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very easy for us. Very easy for us. And by their malfuzat, their majalis, their discourses and their books, then we understand the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly, what they mentioned, these diseases that we have in our hearts, these maladies, the spiritual maladies, the pride, the arrogance, the jealousy. And normally you won't just find a book and just read about it and just, you are able to just see which type of malady you have and do it yourself and then just try and read some prescription. No, it's difficult. But by listening to these topics constantly, all the time, so many times we didn't realize we were actually people who were jealous of others. But as we listen, and that is why you will find they mention how people should listen to such majalis. It says, who will benefit? It says, two groups of people will definitely benefit. And the first group are those who have faith and confidence in the speaker. They know that their sheikh is on haqq, he'll speak only that which is haqq. They realize the application of his advice will definitely cause an improvement in themselves. Please again, I will emphasize, I mentioned this I think 1,000 times now, I do not regard myself as any sheikh. We are all friends, we all seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we have these books and majalis of these people who are genuine friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala guide us. May Allah help us and protect us from the different fitnas. Nobody can claim that he is a Shaykh Kamil. If anybody claims he is a Shaykh Kamil, then you must know he's bogus, he's fake. Because that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But yes, we see certain qualities that enable us to make out that this person is a genuine person. He's not trying to abuse us in any way by taking our monies. His eyes and intention is not in our pockets. He is seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is sincere in guiding people. Like we had a Hazrat Manana Rahmatullah Ali in this masjid. Ari Billah Zakir Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Manana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. So many mashayikh. And there are so many who are still alive. So these are genuine mashayikh, friends. May Allah Ta'ala make us true friends of His. This is the constant dua we should be making. Nonetheless, at least we have the books with us, the kitabs. And inshallah, through whatever knowledge Allah has given us, and the little bit of company that we had of these great people, Allah Ta'ala will guide us, inshallah. If we are sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never deprive us. Never. So see what he says. In the first group are those who have faith and confidence in the speaker. They know what he's saying is haqq. They realize the application of his advice will definitely cause an improvement in themselves. So when that happens, you go to a doctor and you are really sick, and you go to a particular doctor. Why? Because you know he's good. So even if you sit in the whole day, you sit in the queue, you know, you go to that doctor and he'll sort you out. Of course, Allah Ta'ala gives shifa. But you know, he's going to give you the right prescription and medication, whatever. And you feel already, even before leaving the surgery, you already feel half well. Why? Because you have faith in that doctor. So same, if you're sitting in any gathering of any sheikh, then this should be, we should be among such people who have faith in the speaker, and whatever he's saying, definitely, if we bring into our lives, it will assist us, it will improve our lives. Then he says, the second group are those who attend with open minds, and they have neither any preconceived ideas, nor any prejudices, but will listen and think over what he said, and accept that which is the haqq. So Hazrat Rahmatullah used to tell us, Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, don't sit with clogged sinuses and cataract in your eyes. Keep your minds open and accept that which is haqq. So these are the two groups that will benefit. This is then the third group. We should not benefit at all. So Allah must not make us from such people. In this group are those who listen to criticize. Those who are prejudiced and will not allow what is being presented to change the attitude. So the intention is wrong. They are sitting to see what mistakes this person can make, so I could something against him, or to criticize the speaker, then you will never benefit. So he says, the basic preparation is to open one's mind and one's heart for the haqq to enter. This is how we should be sitting in the majlis, with an open mind. Of course, if you're going to snooze, you're going to lose. So you're going to sit with an open mind and realize, if you go to the doctor, and he's giving you the prescription and telling you how to take the medication and when to take the medication, you're snoozing over there, you won't understand anything. Now you'll have to go back and talk, sorry man, you know, just explain to me again. Yes, if you were listening and something you did not understand, you can ask the doctor a few times, no problem, he'll explain, he'll take all this pad and he'll illustrate for you and he'll show you again. A similar way, sometimes we don't understand something. So go up to the person again. And you must have that humility and sincerity. And the person will explain to you 100 times, as long as the haqq comes to you. That is the important thing. We all seekers of the truth, haqq. So we sit with an open mind. Any one majlis will have sufficient material in it to benefit any person, irrespective of who he is. Obviously the more familiar one is with the subjects discussed, the greater the benefit. There are people who know Arabic, the people who are ulama, the people who have read books, the people who have sat in the company of great people. So for example, we are talking on pride. So they have sufficient material already in their minds, and they have been accustomed to such ahadith and stories and incidents. So it's easy for them to understand whatever is being seen, easy for them to improve their lives. And sometimes a person first time is hearing something about jealousy or pride, so he may take a bit longer to understand. But sit with an open mind, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit us. So, amongst the different majalis, one was on tartib of suluk. Hazrati rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned, he says, tijarat for the akhirat. We have been sent here into this world to be in business. Tijarat, this word tijarat, tajir, I think everybody knows this. He said, we have been sent for tijarat, for business in this world, but the tijarat is for the akhirat. We have been sent into this world to do a business deal for the akhirat. Whatever activity we are involved in this dunya falls within the category of tijarat, business for the akhirat. The supporting verse of the Quran Sharif is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and insan except that they should worship me. Now this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. This is the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jinn will worship Allah and insan will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is clear that Allah has brought us into this world for the sole purpose of making His ibadat. For no other purpose whatsoever. It follows that our lifestyles, all aspects of our daily lives, are subordinate to and relate to the akhirat. So the main focus is the akhirat. That is our goal. This dunya, short while, we are preparing and we are doing this tijarat for the akhirat. It then follows that the laws and rules relating to the akhirat automatically apply to our lives here. And when our living or lifestyle is in accordance with these rules, our whole existence in this world is now termed as ibadat. So, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I have not created jinn and man except for my ibadat. And Allah has put us into this world to make this tijarat for the akhirat. So our activities in this world will be governed by laws of the hereafter, which Allah wants us to implement here. And if we implement these laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this deal that we are doing, this tijarat for the akhirat, then all our activities in this world will become an ibadat. The place of commerce, industry, agriculture and so forth is, now we have a stomach which is housed in a physical body. The stomach requires food and the body requires clothing and shelter. The means for attaining these requirements are various: agriculture, industry, commerce, professional services, employment, so forth, so on. In order to fulfill our bodily needs, these worldly activities are necessary. Allah kept us in this world. So again, we have to make a tijarat, and there will be certain laws that we have to abide by to make our life in dunya an ibadat. So when we are going to be in this dunya making ibadat, this physical body of ours also requires some nourishment. We have a stomach, he says, which is housed in this physical body. And the stomach requires food. This body requires clothing. We require shelter. And therefore Allah has kept in this world means for us to fulfill these requirements of food, nourishment for our stomach, clothing for our body, a home for shelter. So all these worldly activities are necessary for us. So people have asked these questions. We have been sent in this dunya for the akhirat, and we are told to detach ourselves in the dunya, and then we must make use. So they don't understand. But listen what Hazrat Ramadan explains. He says that we have been sent in this world for the akhirat. Main purpose is akhirat. That's our goal. We will be making ibadat here, but we have got physical bodies Allah has created. And we have to nourish these bodies. And we have to look after these bodies. We have to have healthy bodies. We've got to have a home. We've got shelter. We need clothing. So for these requirements, dunya is necessary. Worldly activities are necessary. Once we understood this, now we can continue. It says, there appears to be a paradox. On the one hand, we have been made dependent on these worldly activities. On the other hand, the command given to us that our sole activity should be ibadat. It's a paradox. an apparent contradiction that we have been made dependent on these worldly activities. We're going to work, get some money, food, and nourish our bodies. And the other hand, Allah has said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created for you for any other purpose but for my ibadat. The explanation is that fulfilling our bodily needs for the purpose of ibadat, fulfilling our bodily needs, the food we're eating, the nourishment we get, our clothing, our shelter, the body needs rest, sleep, etc. So fulfilling our bodily needs for the purpose of ibadat makes the means that we adopted also ibadat. So you went to your shop and you earned money the entire day, but your purpose was so that I can live a life enabling me to perform my 5 times salat in the masjid. I need a car to come to the masjid. I need a car to make the other ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need food to be able to stand up in salat. I need a home also to secure myself so I can make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the means that you acquired for that particular ibadat also becomes ibadat. So you went to the shop and you earned dunya, but that also becomes ibadat. How beautiful Allah ta'ala has made it. This means that the activities listed above, agriculture, the person went to the farm, or he went to the factory, industry, so forth, whatever, professional, some profession he went, doctor, lawyer, teacher, whatever it is, will consequently be counted as ibadat. The place of good morals. So we're going to follow the trend of thinking. This majalis, unfortunately, we won't have time, so we're going to stop, and then I will have to just recap again when we commence again. But at least this much we should understand. You can see the trend of this majlis, ibadat and dunya. Now, as an individual, what does all this mean to you? Involvement in any enterprise, whether it's one's individual capacity, whether in partnership with others, means interaction with others. You're going to be interacting with people, associating with others becomes unavoidable. You have to get married, you have a wife, you'll get children. You have parents, you have family members, you come to the masjid, there are musallis, you're working in the business, there'll be people, you'll have customers, you'll have a boss, you'll have workers, whatever it is. Different individuals have different temperaments. To be able to deal with different personalities, to be able to avoid friction with people of different temperaments, the most important factor is one's personality. In order to cope with various situations, a good character is essential. A personality that will know how to respond to different conditions in the correct manner. It should not happen that flaws in one's character disrupt the smooth running of one's affairs. So you are going to be involved in some worldly activities. So you're going to go to the business. You're going to interact with people. Now all these things will teach us how to interact with people. Lest we have such a weakness that will cause a friction with the next person, and then we'll be fighting with the person, and then we'll swear that we might have some serious issues arising. Now all this is not good. So Hazrat Ramaz explains, he says, it is important for us to know how to deal with different personalities. It should not happen that flaws in one's character disrupt the smooth running of one's affairs. It is obvious that greed and avarice, or pride and arrogance, will result in eventual disunity. Such qualities are bound to cause friction and disharmony. Having understood the importance of good morals, good character, in our worldly activities, involving association with others, we can now proceed further, and we can say that the ibadat that one is involved in falls into two categories. We're making ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, two categories. One is connected with the external namaz, we're in Isha Salat now. May Allah accept our namaz. So this was an external ibadat. We keep roza. We go for Hajj, Umrah. All these are regarded as muta'alliq bizzahir, with external. Then we have batin, internal, with one's character. So two things. We are accountable for both. One of the two is ibadat bil batin. And the other one is ibadat with the zahir. Simple. One is zahir. Zahir means external, like the salat we read. and one is batin, has to do with our heart. We are accountable for both. Ibadat bil batin first has to be established before ibadat bil zahir. By doing this, one will attain tranquility, steadfastness, and permanence in one's ibadat bil zahir, and also khushu and khudu. So he says it's important to get that ibadat of the batin first, and then we get our ibadat of zahir. But he explains all this in detail. And we'll just explain today one more about khushu and khudu, and these words we hear all the time. We hear the Maulana say, we must get khushu and khudu in our salat. Now we don't know what's khushu and khudu. Simply he says, what is khushu? Khushu is to avoid bringing thoughts of anything except Allah Ta'ala into one's heart. Deliberately during one's ibadah. The word deliberately is very important. So to bring any thought besides Allah deliberately in your ibadat, that is against khushu. So khushu means to avoid bringing any thought other than Allah deliberately into our ibadat. He says, no, the emphasis on the word deliberately, voluntarily, ikhtiyari. Those thoughts that are not voluntary, ghair ikhtiyari, beyond your control, involuntarily, are of no consequence. I think almost every second person asks this question, man, namaz, I don't know what happens, and gives this thought, that thought, I don't know, I'm trying to fight it, I can't take it. And even sometimes in some other ibadah, reading Quran, and some stupid thoughts will come, and people become really, really, you know, affected by these thoughts, and they feel so weak. So those have no consequence. They were not voluntarily brought into your mind by yourself. It is not only in namaz that khushu is essential, but the concept of khushu is that at all times the heart should be free of ghairullah. Ghairullah means besides Allah. The thoughts which are not connected with Allah Ta'ala should not be brought to the mind deliberately. Say Allahu Akbar and deliberately now. Now we think, hey, right, I did that sale today, that sale. Tomorrow I got to go there and that container is coming. And next week I got to go to China. And all these are deliberate thoughts. It's possible. You are reading some ayat of the Quran. And you know Arabic well. And some story has been mentioned. Something about some transaction or whatever it is. Or the laws of buyu have been mentioned. And not voluntarily, involuntarily, your mind went to some transaction that you're doing. So there's no consequence of that. But deliberately to the entire namaz, now you're bringing those thoughts. That is something that we should avoid. This is the original occupation of the heart. Huzuri haq. Allah, Allah is watching. To be aware of the presence of Allah Ta'ala at all times. Many still have the wrong concept that khushu is essential only in namaz. No. Added to this is the misconception that only namaz is ibadah. And all of us, you see, we make a lot of ibadat, man. What do we mean by that? He makes a lot of namaz. Namaz is one aspect, one part of ibadat. However, the mu'min, that person imbued with iman, bears the responsibility performing all ibadat. As explained already, our sole purpose in this world is the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Namaz is zahiri, ibadat of the body. But this is a very important ibadat, and that is the ibadat of the heart. This batini, internal ibadat of the heart, is to have the presence of Allah Ta'ala in the heart at all times. This is the basic primary ibadat. Linked with this ibadat of the heart are other forms of ibadat. It follows that all activity carried out with this primary ibadat that is firmly established in the heart will all be counted as ibadat. Now, there will be a reality in the purpose of one's existence, namely, that we have been brought into existence for the sole purpose of the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we're making the ibadat of Allah ta'ala, if the ibadat is to do with our zahir, external, but still we have already worked on our internal, our batin, and we have huzuri haq, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will enjoy our zahiri ibadat. All the necessary branches and offshoots of our lives will then be connected to ibadat, whether it is agriculture, commerce, practice of medicine or law, teaching, lecturing, writing, publishing. This being the case, the primary prerequisite before undertaking these activities is attaining the necessary knowledge. Whether one works alone or works in a group, one has to know the Sharia laws and rules related to that particular activity. The very fact that we are Muslim makes it compulsory for us to gain ilm, knowledge. This is a Muslim's primary duty. The knowledge that he has to seek, we're talking now, is of Sharia knowledge, which is called ilm-e-deen. And the ilm, the attainment of ilm is also an ibadat. Any person who becomes a Muslim and a mu'min has to undertake this essential and compulsory ibadat in the first instance. Without knowledge, without this pre-required ibadat, no other ibadat performed will be performed correctly, completely correct. It won't be completely correct. You have to have knowledge how to read salat. A new Muslim, what do we tell him? You just watch what we're doing. Don't worry, just see, follow. So he's looking at us and he's performing. So in other words, we became his ustad. But if somebody doesn't know at all, how is he going to perform namaz? And it's possible somebody accepts Islam, but nobody taught him, he didn't learn, he didn't acquire any knowledge. His life will go by without a single salat. Why? He did not have any knowledge. So this is a prerequisite for ibadat, knowledge. Without ilm, without this pre-required ibadat, no other ibadat performed will be performed correctly. And any ibadat not performed correctly has no chance of being accepted. If we read salat, mashallah, good intention we had, but the whole salat was not done according to how Allah Ta'ala has commanded, how we have been taught by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it's not accepted. We keep roza in the month of Ramadan, and we didn't know the certain things we do, it breaks our roza. How can that be accepted? So then we come now to the importance of knowledge. How important is this acquisition of ilm? And we'll terminate here. It's quite a bit today. So we see the trend. Ibadat we have to do. And we are living in this world. So there's no paradox. We will earn. And whatever is necessary we require. So that we can make the ibadat properly. Ibadat, two categories. Zahir and batin. And we have to work on the batin, the internal, to get this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in salat, but all our ibadat. And to get all this, we require knowledge. And this ilm is necessary. So inshallah, when we have the next majlis, we will continue from here. The place of ilm, the importance of acquisition of ilm. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.